Saha Yagya Praja Shrista Purovacha Prajapati Anena Prashivishyadvam Eshavoshvishtakamaduk. In the beginning of creation, the Lord of all creatures sent forth generations of men and demigods, along with sacrifices for Vishnu, and blessed them by saying, "Be thou happy by this yajna sacrifice, because its performance will bestow upon you all desirable things." In the world that we live in, every living being has so many needs and so many wants. And the basis of our whole civilization is simply to provide and protect the fulfillment of our desires. In this third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Sri Krishna, who is the creator of this entire universe, is explaining with all authority what the purpose of life is and how we can fulfill all of our desires. Just as when we buy any sophisticated machine, there is an instruction guide which has been written by the manufacturers to tell us exactly how to use it properly so that we don't hurt ourselves, we don't hurt others, and we can get the best use of it. If you buy an automobile or a computer or any type of appliance, the manufacturer knows how it is to be used properly. In the same way, when Lord Vishnu creates this cosmic manifestation, he gives a manual of how we can live within this creation and be happy, not create suffering upon ourselves and others. He gives us an understanding of the purpose of this creation and what could be achieved by living in it according to his direction. But if we misuse this divine gift of God, then we are considered to be the most unfortunate. This human form of life is especially the opportunity to attain the highest bliss, the fulfillment of all of our desires, by entering into the eternal loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this creation was designed especially to frustrate anyone and everyone who has any other idea. Krishna warns us in the Gita, Jagya shishta shana shanto mochante sarvikil bashai bhunjate tetvakam papa ye pachantyatma karanat, that you are not here to enjoy. You are here to serve. And if you think you are the enjoyer, and you try to exploit the property of God, whatever it may be, or whoever it may be, for our own enjoyment, then you will suffer. You will suffer in bondage. And you will have no power to protect yourself. Krishna says that the sources of misery are the pleasures of our senses. How foolish The whole society is mad after satisfying their senses. But Krishna says that the very pleasure that you're working so hard to achieve is the source of all misery. Prahlad Maharaj also said, you want to be happy in this material world? It's very simple. Stop trying to be happy. That's all. If you just stop trying to be happy, you'll never have to suffer. All of our suffering is due to our own independent conception of what happiness is. Selfishly working like asses with the hope that my body and my mind will find some satisfaction. But little do we know that we are binding ourselves in the network of fruitive activities and karma. Guru Maharaj used to say that the difference between happiness and distress in this world is like the difference between wet stool and dry stool. The hog differentiates with great care. The wet stool is very tasty, full of juices. But the dry stool is very dry and not nice, but tasteless. Very tasteless. I don't think any of you have any experience in this life of this matter. But for a hog, you see, when you go to a village, Vrindavan, you'll see, they are mad after nice, succulent stool. But for a human being, whether it's wet or dry, it's all abominable. Similarly, for a person who is God-conscious, happiness, distress, pleasure, pain, honor, dishonor, it's all abominable. It's all miserable. The pleasures are simply an arrangement for future pain, and the sufferings are immediate pain. There's not much difference, is there? If you enjoy something, you're just arranging some future misery. This is the law of nature, because it will be taken away from you. And to the degree you're attached, to the degree it pains. So this understanding has been given to us by Krishna in the instruction manual, the Vedic literatures, from the beginning of creation. If you want to be happy, you engage in the process of yajna, sacrifice. All your desires will be fulfilled through sacrifice. Anad bhavanti bhutani parajanyana nashambhava jagyad bhavati parajanyo jagya karma shamud bhavaha. That without sacrifice, without the grace of God, we cannot even physically exist. All living beings are subsisting on food grains. The vegetarians are taking the grains directly. The non-vegetarians are feeding the grains to animals and then creating an unfortunate situation by taking the lives of those animals. But we're all depending on the gifts of the earth. The grains, the vegetables, the fruits. And who supplies them? Our big, big laboratories, factories, industries, even our greatest scientists, they cannot on their own even create one mustard seed. And yet so proud that we are providing, we are protecting. From the earth the seed grows with the help of rain. Without rain, there can be no life. And we cannot create rain. Rain is a gift of God. And it is explained in this verse of the Gita that rain comes through the proper practice of sacrifice. And Krishna says in Gita, that all sacrifices are born of prescribed duties, and all the prescribed duties of humanity are being enunciated by God, by Krishna. So in all cases, by pleasing Krishna, we perform the ultimate sacrifice. And in different ages, there are different processes of performing sacrifice to please Krishna. In the Satya Yuga, there is the recommendation of meditation. This meditation, we read Valmiki Muni and others, for 60,000 years they sat in a secluded place without any disturbance, fasting, giving up sleep, practicing strict celibacy. And was the result was that they attained love of God and liberation from all miseries. But in Treta Yuga, such a practice of meditation was very difficult. So therefore it was recommended yajna, that great kings, they would perform the Ashwamedha yajna, the Rajasuya yajna, the Gomedha yajna. In these yajnas, each Brahmin had to perform the recitation of mantras perfect. They would go on for days and weeks and sometimes months all day long. And through this entire thing, all the hundreds of Brahmins, if any one of them recited any mantra inaccurately, the whole yajna was spoiled. And plus, one had to have immense, immense wealth. So much ghee, so much paraphernalia. No one has such wealth in this day. In Dwapara Yuga, this process of meditation and yajna were both practically impossible for anyone. Because you see, as the religious way of thinking and behaving declines, the duration of life, the memory, the intelligence, and the gifts of nature also decline. In Dwapara Yuga, the recommended process was worshipping the deity in the temple, offering the 16 types of paraphernalia, according to Narada the Vidhi Marga of Narada Pancharatra, worshipping the deity very, very carefully, very punctually, with extreme standards of cleanliness, within and without. In Kali Yuga, people cannot even practice this properly. In the age of Kali Yuga, there is only one yajna that is recommended, and that is Jagyai Sankirtana Priyaya Jantihi Shumedasha, the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. It is so simple. Why is it so simple? Because if it was any other way, it would be impossible. The purpose of all these yajnas, we should know, is simply to please the Lord. Sometimes we see they are doing the Agnihotra, Homa, most ritualistic ceremonies, whether it be a wedding or for all various types of samskaras. They are performing this fire sacrifice. The Brahmins are chanting the Rig Veda, Yajur Veda, Samaveda, Atharva Veda. With so many mantras, they are offering clarified butter into the fire. Because the fire is a deity form of Vishnu. And through the mantras and offerings, we are simply trying to satisfy Vishnu. That is the only purpose of the yajna. The whole ritual is only to give pleasure to Krishna. But such yajnas, first of all, you have to be a qualified Brahmin to perform them. You have to be very, very highly trained to even take part in it. What about the rest of us? What is our standing? Therefore, the supreme most yajna is the yajna of Hari Kirtan. Why? Because in Hari Kirtan, everyone, without consideration of who you are, what you've done, we can all directly take part. When we chant the holy names, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, we are directly offering our consciousness, our hearts, our mind, our senses, our body, our everything into the, as an oblation, into Krishna, whose appearing is the holy name. Just as Krishna appears in the fire and we are offering all of these seeds and grains and mantras, Krishna is in his name. When we are dancing in the kirtan, what we are doing is we are offering our physical form into the fire of the yajna of the age of Kali Yuga. This dancing is not just some sort of sensual entertainment. Some people come to the temple and say, why are you dancing? What is this dancing? It is the approved, authorized process given by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, recommended in the Vedic scriptures, Jagyai Sankirtana Priyai, of offering our body and our life to Krishna. And when we are hearing the sound of the name, we are offering the power to hear into the fire of the yajna of Harinam. And when we are chanting very loudly, we are offering our power to speak in the yajna of Harinam. And when we are seeing the beautiful devotees so joyfully, jubilantly dancing in the kirtan, we are offering our power to see in the fire of Harinam. In this way, all of our senses and our mind, when we are attentive to hear the holy name, we are offering our entire mind into the sacrificial fire of Krishna's name. And when we cry out with great sincerity, we are offering our very consciousness, our very life force, as an oblation into the sacrifice of the holy name. And in this age of Kali, it is considered the most blessed and worshipable of all times, because even a child, you don't have to be a qualified Brahmin, because there practically is no such thing as a qualified Brahmin in Kali Yuga. The so-called big, big, great expert Brahmins that perform the yajnas, the Brahmins of any other yuga would simply laugh at them. Kalo Sudra Sambhave. We're all born Sudras in Kali Yuga. But those same great Brahmins, they are envious and aspiring to take birth in Kali Yuga to engage in Harinam Sankirtan. Hari Om! Hari Om! Hari Hari Om! Srimad Bhagavatam explains that the great saints, sages, and even the demigods, they worship this age of Kali Yuga. They aspire to take birth in Kali Yuga. Why? It is a time of strife, shortage, irreligiosity, disease, pain, untimely death. It is a time of exploitation. It is a time of the cheaters and the cheated. If you put all the bad qualities of Kali, which is like an unlimited ocean, on one side of the scale, and you put the one and only virtue of Kali Yuga, Hari Kirtan, on the other side, Hari Kirtan will outweigh all of the other characteristics of the age of Kali. Kaler dosa nide rajan asti hekumahan guna kirtanadeva krishnasya mukta sangha param brajet. How fortunate we are. We were explaining the other night that in this material world, there is a law called gravity. And in this law of gravity, everything is forced to go down. There's only two things that naturally, by their own virtue, go upward. Two things that defy the law of gravity. You see this garland, if I throw it up, it goes down. This piece of wood, if I throw it up, it goes down. Everything's going down. It's the nature of this world. What to speak of our consciousness? This look outside in the city of Bombay. Day by day, it's becoming more polluted. There's more crime. There's more rats. There's more argumentation and quarrel amongst loved ones and family members. There's more of these very strange movie billboards with all people with knives and swords and killing each other. This society is going down. By nature, everything goes down. Devotees wear this shika. Do you know why we wear this shika? Shika means flame. Because fire is the one material ingredient that goes up. If you light a fire, the flames go up. Can you think of anything else that goes up? Everything else goes down. But fire naturally goes upward. Up, 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 up. And transcendental knowledge brings one up. And what is transcendental knowledge? Jagyai sankirtanapriya yajante he sumedasha. Sumedasha means those who have good intelligence, who understand proper knowledge in this age of Kali Yuga, they will know that what will bring you up is the sankirtan of the holy name. Therefore, as we are chanting in this great sacrifice or yajna of Harinam, when we raise our arms, it is like the flames of the sacrificial fire of Harinam reaching up to the sky. I'll give you a demonstration. Everyone raise your arms. Now look around you, please. Does it not look like a raging forest fire with flames going upward? Arrivo!
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 This is the sacrificial fire for the age of Kali Yuga. reaching our arms in such a way, like the flames of the fire, for the pleasure of Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated that the louder the chanting becomes, the more sincere and loving the chanting becomes, the higher the arms are raised. Hari Om! Hari Om! Hari Om! This is a scientific technique. And Krishna reciprocates according to our sincerity. When Mother Yashoda would hold Krishna in her arms, Krishna was so soft and so pleasing. In the heat of the summer, Krishna, just by touching him, one would be refreshed and cooled. All of the residents of Vrindavan, they simply wanted to embrace Krishna with their eyes, with their arms, with their ears, with their tongues. They just wanted to embrace Krishna always because he's so pleasing. But one time, on the order of Kamsa, a demon, Asura, came to Vrindavan. His name was Bakasura. And he took the form of a big, gigantic crane. Crane is a type of bird, like a big duck with pointed beak. And Bakasura was seen by the cowherd boys as they were sitting on the bank of the Jamuna, drinking its fresh, cool waters, allowing their calves to also drink the waters. And they saw this unusual bird that was as big as a mountain. And all of a sudden, within an instant, this bird jumped upon them. This is the nature of the world. At the least expected moment, during our most common, typical daily activity, a disaster can come upon us. Something we never expect. Just a few weeks ago, some of our devotees, Devamrit Prabhu, Gauranga Prabhu, they were just driving back from IIT. They go there for lectures every Saturday. Huh? IIT was it? Yes, something like that. Anyways, just common daily routine. They go, they give their lecture, they meet so many students, they drive. But all of a sudden, one truck, something like Bakasura, all of a sudden just went and just turned right into them, and they were crushed. And the van was totally destroyed. And by Krishna's grace, they survived. Anyone who would have looked at the van would have think there is no possibility of survival. And some decorative ornaments were placed upon their bodies by Krishna, but they survived. It's a fact. In the line of service, if anything comes, we should understand it's like a decoration. It's the mercy of Krishna. So, the least expected moment, whoever we are. Just a few months ago, in Latur district, Kilari, people went to sleep. Just like any other night of the year. They finished their work. They came home. They ate dinner with their families. Some of them turned on the television. Some of them were reading books. Some of them were talking this or that. And anyways, they just went to sleep. And they were thinking, Tomorrow we will wake up and we will go back to our work or go back to our school. I don't believe a single person had the slightest idea that they would never see the light of day again in this life. They went to sleep, and I believe it was about 3:59 in the morning, there was an earthquake. They never woke up. Padam padam yadvi padam natesham. This material world is a place where there is danger at every step. Therefore, we must be very, very careful and cautious that we are utilizing our human life for the highest purpose, because it may end at any moment. Don't think you will live till old age. And when you're 99 years old, then you will spend your last year in Vrindavan chanting Hare Krishna and go back to Godhead. Because we do not know whether we will live till tomorrow. That is the nature of this world in Kali Yuga. So the cowherd boys, they were sitting in the nice fresh grasses of Brajbhumi, and they were enjoying like anything the crystal clear delicious waters of the river Jamuna, and their calves were there with them, and they were joking and playing and having so much nice fun. And all of a sudden Bakasura attacked them. Not only did he attack them, but he swallowed Krishna. Now, for a devotee, Krishna is his very life. Kamsa knew, if we kill Krishna, then all the Brijavasis will die. They cannot live without Krishna. A devotee cannot live without Krishna. Krishna is our life and our soul. Now, after Bakasura swallowed Krishna within his beak, he went into the great, powerful mountain-like demon's throat. And the same Krishna, who was so soft and so pleasing when embraced by Yashoda, in the throat of Bakasura, he became hot like fire. How is that? Because Krishna reveals himself as you approach him. Krishna says in Gita that for those who are atheistic, I reveal myself to them as death personified. We are so much afraid of death. But what is death? It is simply Krishna revealing himself in this wonderful way. But for a devotee who is humble, who is always serving with faith, Krishna does not appear as death. Krishna appears along with Sri Radharani before us as the most beautiful, wonderful personality. The charming forms of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath, how much they attract our hearts, how much we want to love them and serve them. Krishna is appearing before us in such a way that we can have an eternal love affair with Radha Gopinath in the spiritual world as their eternal servants. He appears before the devotee as the most beautiful, the most merciful, the most loving person. But to the demons, to those who have no faith, who have no bhakti, he appears in such a way as the rod of chastisement. So Krishna was burning so severely the throat of Bakasura that he couldn't tolerate it. And he just had to throw Krishna out of his mouth. And then he decided that I will stab him to death with this pointed beak. Now, where did he get this pointed beak from? From Krishna. Such a rascal. Krishna gives him this big, strong body, and he tries to eat Krishna with his body. Krishna gives him this formidable beak, and now he's trying to kill Krishna with his beak. And he was stabbing at Krishna, and stabbing, and stabbing. And meanwhile, the cowherd boys, they were very much disturbed. What will happen to our friend, to our love, Krishna? And Krishna, he was effortlessly dancing here and there, dodging every attack by the beak of Bakasura. And ultimately Krishna took that beak and he opened it. He opened it very wide, so wide that he bifurcated the entire demon's body. And Bakasura laid on the ground dead. Hariyo! Shri Vrindavan Bihari Lal Ki! Hariyo! 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 Devotees love to hear about Krishna killing demons. It is our satisfaction. Although devotees are so non-violent, they're so gentle, they will not even hurt even one foot of an ant intentionally. Still, they love to hear about Krishna killing demons. Why is this? Why, when we go to a holy place, sometimes we see paintings of Krishna killing Putana, killing Trinavarta, killing Shakadasura, killing Bakasura, Aghasura, Vatsasura, Aristasura, Pralambasura, Keshiasura. Huh? So many demons coming. And we love to hear these stories. Because when Krishna kills, he actually gives eternal life. He's liberating these demoniac persons to a state of liberation. And whatever Krishna does is perfect. Whatever Krishna does is the most perfect form of nonviolence. Because he's a stop, he's preventing these atrocious beings from committing any further violence. And by engaging in these wonderful supernatural activities, he's simply attracting everyone's minds. So one may think, how is this possible that Bakasura is appearing, a crane that's as big as a mountain, or a snake, Agasura, that's 12 miles long, or a bull whose hump on his back is in the clouds like a mountain, or Putana, a witchly woman who's 8 miles big? It's not possible. This is what people think. It must be mythology. But we should understand that Krishna comes to this world especially to do things that nobody else can do. Just to invoke our faith and our love. To know that under any circumstance we should seek shelter in him. Actually, in those days, these asuras, they were great yogis. They had great mystic powers. They could change their form at will to engage in their selfish, terrible actions. So after Krishna killed Bakasura, the demigods were showering flowers upon him, and his children, friends, the gopas, they were dancing in great happiness, praising the glories of Krishna. Hariyo! So we should know that as we approach Krishna, he will reveal himself accordingly. If you approach the deity as wood or stone, all you'll see is wood or stone. If you approach the deity that, my Lord, I know My Gurudev and all the scriptures are saying that you are in this deity. I will worship you. I will love you. I will pray for you. I will give my life for you. And you will see Radha and Krishna directly. And when we chant the holy name, if we are simply thinking that this is just a very, very ordinary event of singing, then that's what you'll experience. But you have to have faith that this is the sacrifice for the age of Kali. That as we're dancing and as we're singing, we are offering our life and soul to Krishna. And if we are sincere, Krishna will accept that offering. And when Krishna accepts our offering, that all your desires will be fulfilled. Jagyaratat kamanon yatra lokomam karma bandhana taratam karma kunteya mukta sanga samacharaha. That whatever we do, if it is done as a sacrifice for the pleasure of Krishna, it will liberate us from all pains. Anything else we do will only bind us in further entanglement. So let us take the opportunity of receiving the causeless mercy of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came along with his eternal associates from the spiritual world, and together they performed the joyful, wonderful kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And the benediction that was given by Lord Gaura Sundar is that any devotees who come together with sincere devotion to hear and chant, we are actually directly entering into the Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know the story of Srila Narottam Das Thakur. After Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had already left the planet to go back to Goloka Vrindavan, along with Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, and all of his other confidential associates, Narottam decided in his native place, Kechuri Gram, to have a wonderful Gaur Purnima festival, to call all the devotees from all over Orissa and Bengal and some from Vrindavan to come to celebrate for the first time the birthday of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was born on the full moon night of the month of Phalgun. And they were having such wonderful kirtan. They were so united. They were so full of love for one another. They were so faithful that by simply chanting Harinam, all of our desires will be fulfilled. And their only desire was to have a purer heart, to serve. Last night someone asked me, how long do you go on with service before you reach the goal? How long do you go on doing this Hari Kirtan before you reach the goal? And the answer is, eternally. Because the goal is service. The ends are the means. The goal is to chant Harinam. Some scholars asked Srila Prabhupada, what will you get out of all this chanting of Hare Krishna? And his famous reply was, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. There's nothing else we want. We want to chant purely, with so much love that we can give great satisfaction to Radha and Krishna. That is our goal. So in Kheturi Gram, the devotees were chanting, such a wonderful kirtan that all of a sudden, right in their midst, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Acharya, Gadadhar Pandit, Srivas Thakur, Haridas Thakur, Shivananda saying, Swarup Damodar Goswami, Ramananda Rai, they all appeared and were dancing with their arms raised, chanting the holy names. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The devotees were very happy. They were in so much intense separation since the Lord had left them. And the Lord fulfilled all their desires. He wanted to show them and show us that wherever my devotees come together with humble and faithful hearts to chant my names, I am there. This is my lila. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is giving all of us entrance into his divine lila today and every day. Thank you very much.